to Bruce, unfinished. I never ate an artichoke before that cool fall night on Bleecker Street, my first visit to Karin's apartment in Greenwich Village. We stopped at Simple Simon's, a hamburger joint, on the way in. Bruce had face there. The counterman knew him. I almost remember him, but not the burger. Later, Karin made us steaks and taught me how to peel the artichoke, to dip the leaves in butter, and suck the succulents of the mossy green epiderm. Karin Whiteley was a striking woman, taller than Bruce. She had a scar between her bottom lip and her chin. I never knew its origins. Bruce and I went uptown, preppy dressed, pretended to be 18 and were served beer in a stripper bar. On Saturday, Bruce introduced me to the myriad movie houses on 42nd Street. We went for Little Caesar and the Public Enemy and thought it cool when Cagney smashed the grapefruit into May Clark's face. Macho and chauvinistic back then. How we would change with the times and the births of daughters to love women. Bruce introduced me to the arts. Bruce was artistic in his dress, in his dance, in his sports, and his manner. I recall that he wrote well. I did not. Could hardly speak whole sentences before Ollie Jones taught us to diagram. Bruce loved Louis Armstrong, Belafonte, and a French singer whose name I can't recall. When I hear Louis Armstrong, I think of Bruce and Peg, Saddle River, Tiny, and that ridiculous game of handball, the ball invisible downtown and onstage variety night. The same night that Bruce played Romeo to My Juliet. But hark, what light! And his voice still resounds between my ears, interlaced with, "Oh, for a muse of fire! And eftsoons thy hands off me," when the curtains, walls to the balcony, a small table, stuck on the opening. It started around 1950. Bruce and Herb did eighth grade together. I came the next year, but CWC didn't start until 1952. We spent 51 seeing who could pee up the highest tree. That settled, we discovered that capers and adventures were so much more important than peeing on trees. Tripping to the Holy Hot Dog on free worship Sundays, or better, being released to go to the New York Times Youth Forum in the city. What a lark! Hot dogs at Nathan's, OJ at Needick's, Uncle Hubert's Flea Circus, smoking Churchill's at a buck a pop. Karin Whiteley had a friend in Long Branch, New Jersey, who invited CWC for a weekend. He opened his liquor cabinet. Bruce and I sipped gin and watched Herb drink rum by the tumblerful. Then we held his head while he spilled his guts on the lawn, carried him to bed. We were tight. In ninth grade, we made the diving bell from a 55-gallon drum, plexiglass and caulk and an old bicycle pump. We demonstrated at Bee Gees Beach, loading it with window sash weights to hold it underwater. We were tight. We did skits, wrote songs, performed well enough that some thought us destined CWC advertising, Madison Avenue. We were tight. First year at Cornell, we did economy tours of the bodies in Utica. We had to hitchhike. Bruce's car had been totaled by a drunk brother. Ace picked us up, gave sage advice. There are none bad, some better than others. He gave us his number, wanting addresses if we scored. Who knows why such bond meant tightly? It did, Herb and me and Whiteley. Bruce showed me how to part my hair and shape it with a brush, a wrist action. Patiently, he coached me through the intricacies of how to tie a bow tie just like a shoelace around my neck. Those were his words, like a shoelace. Interesting simile, we both wore loafers. In my 40s, wearing a bow tie became an affectation, the world's greatest filter salesman. We played Woodmere, down on the 3 or 4. Hoffman sent in a special play, putting Herb at the fullback. Whiteley and me opened a hole 2 yards wide and 3 yards long so Herb could get his score, running us nearly over. We called him Glory Boy for a month after. The summer of 54, Bruce rode horseback with Rube Hitzig and his sisters from deep in Texas to New York City. He came back late for the senior year. I missed him. Told him that I envied his trip. He said, well, don't. I was the butler, and the girls argued all the way, confusing female canines with fatherless children. I was still envious. Years later, I would see Rupert Hitzig's name on the big screen, a producer of moving pictures. I met him one time in Woodstock, again at the Hitzig's brownstone in New York City. Impressive, even to worldly lads passing 17, skipping to 30. At Cornell, the temptations were too great for Bruce and me. Herb knew what he wanted to be. He roomed alone, studied intensely, not much time for play. He pored over his books with green eyeshade until shadows formed under his eyes. Herb was dedicated to his dream. Bruce and I spent too much time in the movies. Fernandel in The Sheep with Five Legs, Alec Guinness played the Lavender Hill mob and the white suit, Diabolique, original French, Dirk Bogarde and Glynis Johns, fine art stuff. In 57, Bruce and I left Ithaca, left Cornell, and CWC met only one more time, on the day of my wedding, September the 7th. My last sight of Bruce was him and Herb walking along the drive from my parents' house. Bruce McCool stopped to open a car door for a departing guest. The door handle slipped from Bruce's hand, and he, with characteristic grace, pirouetted and caught the door with his other hand and bowed the guest into the auto. I never saw him again. It hurts my heart to know that my buddy has died, and there were 42 years when I could have seen him, but did not. My loss. That's the end of the poem, but a week or two before reading this at the Class of 55 reunion, I was watching a documentary of a French singer, Edith Piaf, and I recognized immediately that that was the voice that Bruce so loved back in the 50s.